This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, welcome to the ND18 podcast. This is Andrew Reich, one of your co-hosts. I'm joined by Adam Murray. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well. Let's talk some basketball, shall we?
We will be talking some basketball now. The basketball we're going to be talking about today is not necessarily on the up and up with the daily updates or the weekly updates of the NBA regular season. We're going to be doing one of our special episodes today, and that's going to be regarding an instance that was put to an end, I guess you could say, in 2005. Is that would you say that?
Yeah, it was. There's a combination of things. First, you had a lot of kids coming in. The NBA got sick of it. GMs were tired of it because they always kept getting fired.
And colleges hated it because they were losing out on talent.
They have no talent. The kids, they've ruined their careers now. And plus, you know, GMs got wise to it, realized these are four-year projects and we can't draft them and wait for something to happen.
What we're talking about here, just to get the intro out the way, is what people have them like the jump high school to pro, prep to pro. We're going to call them the none and dunners. Because everybody knows now about the one and dunners that started in 06 with Oden and Durant, where people would just jump to the NBA after just 1 year. And you see that all the time now in the NBA. It's common. It's basically, you know, it's secondhand. But when it comes to none and done, you know, there's a lot of guys that didn't go to college at all for different reasons. Some good, some not so good, and went to the NBA and tried to make a go of it in the NBA. Some obviously did very, very well. Some did not. We're going to be talking about all of them, and we're going to be categorizing them and see where they all fit in the whole big picture of the NBA, because it only lasted about really 10 years in terms of like intensively, but it actually goes a little farther back than that, right?
Yeah, it went back to the Moses Malone, but nobody really followed him. There was no urgency for kids in the 70s and 80s all of a sudden to come out.
Yeah, and they were also fighting hardship, and, you know, Curt Flood in the 1970s was also fighting that with Major League Baseball about free agency. Now, that's an entirely different matter. But Spencer Haywood went through a lawsuit with the NBA where he challenged them in court that he did not have to wait all 4 years in college in order for him to go to the NBA. He was an incredible player at the University of Detroit Mercy, and he was ready to go to the NBA, and the NBA said, no, you can't. You have to wait 4 years. And he said, no, I don't. And when they put it out in court, the Supreme Court in the Haywood versus NBA case actually upheld Haywood's decision that if he wanted to go to the NBA, he could. That was in 1971. Now, obviously, you just mentioned Moses Malone. Moses Malone was signed by the ABA in 1974 because the ABA had no limitations on when you could go and play there. So he went to the ABA and played for the Utah Stars and the Spirits of St. Louis. The NBA had his draft rights, but he wound up playing there anyway after 1976 when the ABA was dissolved. But we went about 20 years. You know, Daryl Dawkins did it. There's another guy named Bill Willoughby who went to the NBA straight out of high school. Dawkins did okay, Chocolate Thunder. Willoughby, no. Nobody really knew who he was. But is there a reason why in the 80s and the late 70s, even though the option was there, you know, Isaiah Thomas as a sophomore went to the NBA after winning a national title at Indiana, why did a lot of guys still stay in school?
Well, the paychecks weren't making $10 million a year. Don't forget, Larry Bird got drafted. He said, I'm going to go back to school for a year. Nobody cared. Times were different back then. You know, like you just mentioned, kids had to go all 4 years. Freshmen weren't even allowed to be on the varsity team for a lot of colleges.
Yeah.
It's just the rules started changing, money started coming in, and then there was really no reason for somebody to start going. early. Then it was, okay, junior year, well, he's ready. Then it became sophomore year. It started, you know, slides down. And then really, once Garnett had his, because don't forget, he was a complete whirlwind. There was a complete media circus around him the entire time.
Yeah, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was a player for the draft.
That's when it really started.
But the thing is, too, and I think people don't remember this, is that when Minnesota picked Kevin Garnett fifth in that draft, I think the draft was actually in the Sky Dome because they were opening the Toronto Raptors franchise. I remember there was a gasp in the audience because people thought this was a very risky pick. You would think now, wow, why do you think Kevin Garnett's a risky pick? He became a Hall of Fame player. But a lot of people, GMs alike, GMs and players alike, thought it was a terrible idea.
Well, that was the case. You had this high school kid who's playing against people who aren't even going to be Division I in college. And then how are you going to – how there was no comparison to it. You have the NCAA tournament. You have Joe Smith. We know what he can do. McDice. Mm-hmm. Stackhouse and Rashid went before him, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm pretty sure they were all sophomores, too.
Yeah, they're all these sophomores, or maybe – or some was – I think Joe Smith was a junior.
They all left early. But the point is, you had a body of work that was complete. We knew what Rashid could do. We knew what McDice can do. Here's this guy. We don't know what is he.
But that's the thing. It was kind of like this what is the world come to type of narrative that came out of the media about Garnett. And then the next year after that, the floodgate – I wouldn't say the floodgates opened, but they creaked open just a little bit where they had maybe four or five guys that wanted to go to the NBA. One of them, obviously, we know very well in the NBA is going to be breaking Jordan's career scoring mark pretty soon, and that's going to be Kobe Bryant. The thing that was interesting about Kobe, though, is that he was an even bigger risk to me, Adam, because he was a guard. You know, guards don't come out of high school and succeed.
He was the first guard to do so. And once one player starts going in, everybody's, well, I'm better than Kobe. I'm better than this guy. Mm-hmm. I'm better than that guy.
Yes.
And you could say Kobe, but also with Kobe, he had a terrible first year. T-Mac came a year after, and T-Mac started playing at a higher level than Kobe did.
But was T-Mac really a guard, though? Was he more of like a Gervin type, kind of like a cross between Garnett and Kobe?
No, because he was too small and too weak to put down as a three, so he, by default, coming out of high school, had to be a two.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, okay, you're playing small ball, move him to the three, but he wasn't the forward yet. He was still just a pure guard, in my opinion.
Yeah, the other ones that got picked in 96 with Kobe, one was Jermaine O'Neal. A lot of people think there was ulterior motives to that one because he failed his ACTs and he knew he couldn't enroll in college. And there was another one. when we get to the bottom, we'll talk about that one. But, you know, Tracy McGrady was interesting because in 97 he was the only high schooler that was picked in that draft. And he did not start out really well. So people were saying, you see, this isn't going to work for every player. Now, for Tracy McGrady's case, it did. But there's obviously a lot of guys where it really didn't work out, or they probably were better off just staying and sticking with their college decision.
Well, let's just look at Jermaine O'Neal again. He is I think he is he's sort of just the tail of all these players, because Kobe and Garnett, they're in the class of their own. Mm-hmm. Jermaine O'Neal, he didn't take off till 3-4 years later.
Yes, he toiled with the Blazers for a long time.
Yeah, so you had, and then came the wave of, oh, we need to draft a high school kid. We're going to find the next Durant. We're going to find the next Kobe, the next Jermaine O'Neal. But what did he really do until he went to Indiana? That's when he took off all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
In his first 4 years at Portland, he was a complete bust.
Those 4 years he could have spent at South Carolina, where he would have gone to college.
There you go. That is the case right now.
So now your college education isn't college. It's the NBA.
These kids aren't ready. You're playing the role as a 12th man. You're not getting minutes on the court. You're not developing.
But you know what? You know what the justification for a lot of those players, they'll say now, and a lot of them will continue to say when they're one-and-doners, is that they feel better off learning the NBA style as early as possible rather than toiling in college and not really learning anything.
Well, that's what they said. Well, at first, it was, you know, a lot of these kids, they didn't even bother trying to go to school and, oh, I don't need to go do my ACTs, do my SATs. I'm just going to be the next pro. I'm going to be the next Kobe.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of these kids didn't qualify, so they had no choice, but there's only so much you can learn sitting at the end of the bench.
That's true, because you're not old enough or experienced enough to soak in the knowledge in order to develop into the player you can be. You have to be on the court to do it.
And that is the term. You said it correctly. It is maturity.
Mm-hmm.
These kids just don't have it. They came in. You think you're the hot shit. All of a sudden, oh, look, you have a 35-year-old guy who's playing more minutes than you because he's been in the system and he's a good all-around guy.
Yeah, some were wise beyond their years, but some of them were actually wiser players, but not really that talented. And we're going to talk about those guys in the middle coming up. We talked about Garnett. We talked about Kobe Bryant. I don't want to call this a Mount Rushmore because I actually consider five guys that were kind of perennial, all-time type of high school to pro players. One of them kind of a throwback that we already mentioned. You got Bryant. You got Garnett. We've got Moses Malone. Moses Malone is seventh all-time in career points. He's played 19 years in the NBA, 21 overall. He was a three-time MVP. He's the member of the NBA top 50 greatest players that we talked about before. I mean,
He was ready to go to college too. He signed
with Maryland. He's going
to
play for Lefty Driesell, and yeah. He wanted to build the UCLA of the East. That's what Lefty Driesell called it, because he was going to play with Brad Davis, who played in the NBA, and John Lucas, who was a really good player. And that team would have dominated had Moses played in college.
Oh, definitely. But, you know, it's not like, you know, back then it was just, it was different choices. And the last one on your list, go ahead, you could put him in.
Well, it's kind of a teeterer, because I could make him in the all-star pool. But I do think, like, when we look at the end of the day, the really great high school to NBA guys, I think Dwight Howard has to be on that list. He was number one overall. He went to Southwest Atlanta Christian Academy in Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to talk about the college choices for all these players, too, just for variety's sake. And I don't think – did we ever really get a good feeler on where he wanted to play? Because I don't think he was serious about going to the NBA.
He wasn't really serious, but the consensus was Georgia Tech was going to ultimately win out, it seemed.
Yeah, North Carolina, Florida, and Duke were the others. He played for this really good AAU team called the Atlanta Celtics. I think J.R. Smith and Josh Smith had a couple experiences with that squad too with Dwight. So yeah, would you have an argument there? You know, defensive player of the year multiple times, rebounding champion multiple times. Do you think he would be a guy that you would consider, like, when you look at the high school to pro guys, you would say that's the guy that was one of the ultimate success stories?
Yeah, he is right now, but with Dwight, I think there's time for him to have injuries where he could be like, oh man, his career got cut short.
Mm-hmm.
He's only been in the league 10 years. He's only 28 or 29 now.
Yeah.
So what if, you know, what if he has lingering injuries, all of a sudden, bam, 30, out of the league? You can't say he's one of the great stories anymore.
Yeah, he's already having knee problems. He's had the back issues. But, I mean, he's a fantastic player. Everybody knows that physically, and that's the key for a lot of these high school players. We'll talk about the last one on our all-timer list in that regard, too. But physically, my goodness. I mean, I've never seen a player like Dwight Howard with the shoulders and the upper body strength. He was like a Goliath, really.
He was just a beast because straight coming out of high school. And,
yeah.
You know, he started every game from day one.
And to me, the guy that really – I mean, if we creaked open the damn walls with Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett, it flooded open after this guy had his high school game on national television in 2003, and that was LeBron James. He played at St. Vincent St. Mary High School. I think everybody in America knows this. He played in Akron, Ohio. I'm pretty sure he was going to go to Ohio State.
Yeah, he was going to Ohio State. He said he would have gone there. He wears Ohio State gear now, so it was no secret.
Yeah. Now, how good Ohio State would have been? I mean, I don't know. Carmelo Anthony played a year at Syracuse, and all they did was win the national championship with a bunch of other hosers. So, I mean, you know what? I take that back. The Syracuse team is actually pretty talented outside of Carmelo. But when you have one player that great, it makes the whole team great. And I think LeBron probably could have done the same thing at Ohio State. And let's talk about – here's the other one, college of choice. We didn't really talk about him, but Garnett. I heard in an interview with Jalen Rose that he would have gone to Michigan.
That was the consensus. Everyone was like, oh, he was going to go to DePaul. No, he said he was going to Michigan, which I was like, that was – I thought that was the case, Michigan, that was it. Then I'm reading online. He said he was going to surprise everybody and go to Maryland because he wanted to play with Joe Smith and be the dominating duo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
That would have been a good-ass team. Gary, I think Gary Williams was still there. And you had Joe Smith and we just talked about Garnett. And I'm trying to think of the other guys they had on that team. Didn't the Lithuanian play on that team, that guy that we were talking about before, Jacek Kivius? Yeah, I think he played on that team, too.
Yeah, that was there. That might have been – no, that was before Blake and
– yeah. Yeah, that was before Blake and Juan Dixon. That was about maybe Byron Steve franchise. And for Kobe Bryant, this one's been debated forever because when he played in the Olympics for Coach Mike Krzyzewski, I mean, Kobe loves Coach K. He said in certain hints that he would have played at Duke for Mike Krzyzewski because he was the only coach that he would have wanted to play for in college. Well, hindsight's 20/20. You know, kids make mistakes. Well, he did say, though, in an interview about 2 years ago with Jimmy Kimmel, a one-on-one interview he did, he said he would have gone to North Carolina because he wanted to challenge himself against the best because Vince Carter had just gone there and Anton Jameson was there.
No, I think in the end he would have gone to Duke.
Oh,
it was, you know, it was the stories
where
–
how despised would he been had he been?
He would have been extremely despised. But I think he would also would have been a different player.
Mm-hmm.
He would not be this shoot first guy that we all know now. Plus, don't forget there were stories like, oh, that LaSalle was going to hire his father and he was going to play. Like, no, he wasn't going to LaSalle. He was going to go to Duke the whole time. And you know, hindsight's like, oh, I would have gone to, you know, now it's just, oh well, I would have gone to North Carolina so I could play against Duke. It's like, no, you weren't. Now you're changing your story. We know you're going to Duke. We would have loved to hate you then. And it's. Don't change your story halfway through.
Yeah, the local ties are pretty strong with almost all these prospects when you look at their considerations. You know, Kobe, he came from Ardmore, Pennsylvania at Lower Marion High School. That's around the area where LaSalle is. Kevin Garnett, he was from Chicago. Everybody said he was considering DePaul.
He was from South Carolina and then moved to Chicago.
He moved to Chicago and played a fairly good career academy.
Yep.
And so those are the top guys. And obviously, they're not going to be getting upset by anybody that we're going to be talking about because we're going to be going all the way to the bottom here and talking about some of the players that I wouldn't even say people that you might remember. These are names that I don't remember. And yeah, I don't even know if Adam does either.
There are a lot of names we need to look up, and we need to lean on each other a bit. But this is the one you have kids playing in high school. Oh, man, I'm in Division V, low class. I'm totally better than Kobe because I'm scoring 50 points here in high school. He only scored 35.
Yeah, I got him on a scrimmage and dunked on him in the in a practice session. So that means I'm better than him.
Yeah, it's like, know? Remember, DeJuan Wagner scored 100 points in college.
Mm-hmm.
In high school. I'm sorry.
And then he went to Memphis.
He went to Memphis.
If he scored 100 points in high school, I still don't think he would have been drafted.
That was the thing. It's like, you know, because that was a big story in all of Jersey was, you know, DeJuan Wagner, 100-point score. It's just like, yeah, so? Well, I'm better than Kobe. I scored 100. That's what all these kids are thinking because all their friends are telling them that. And
it turns into a kid's mindset of, yeah, do it. And they do it. And some of them do okay, some of them swim a little bit, and then some of them sink like an anvil. And let's go to one here. I'll just name them right here. We're not going to do it really in order of years because some of the players in different years did well and some didn't. We're just going to bundle them all together. This is a category that we're going to be proclaiming as the cautionary tales. You know, the ones that you hear about and they say, don't do it. Don't go high school to pro because you don't want to be like this name that we're going to say. And so there's a few of them. James Lang, he was from Central Park Christian High School in Birmingham, Alabama. He went out in 2003. He was a 6'10 center. He was going to go to Louisville. Do you remember anything about this guy?
I just remember he was the why is this kid going? Why he wasn't really projected to do anything. Mm-hmm. It was just I'm 6'10". I can do it. I saw Mare do it the year before. He's a real tragic tale.
Yeah.
Because he had a stroke when he was 28. And
yeah, he's partially paralyzed now.
Yeah, he never really did anything. And
he tried in like some Barnstormer leagues and then the D-League, but it just wasn't meant to be.
That's why you bounce around and, okay, yeah, we get it. You can make a living playing in the Mongolian League getting, you know, maybe six figures, but you're living in Mongolia.
Yeah, Jeremy Tyler, we're not going to talk about Jeremy Tyler because he was not a none and doneer per se, because he came after the rule was put back in place in 2005 that you have to be at least a year removed from high school. But he had to go to China. We all know about the
Tyler's are only negative one and doneer. He left after his junior year.
Well, you got Emmanuel Mudiay, too, and Brandon Jennings when he went to China.
Brandon Jennings went to Italy. Emmanuel is in China. And we're going to make that for a different episode, because I think we have a lot to talk about the newer kids, too, because it's starting again, it seems. And there's a couple tales you didn't hear about, like Norvell Pell. And,
yeah.
But for right now, James Lang, he was just sort of the reason, like, maybe these kids shouldn't be coming in.
Yeah.
For a couple years, there's always a name or two. Well, let's go to some more names first.
Yeah, Ricky Sanchez, I don't even consider him that. I just think he just happened to play in an American college, kind of like Enos Kanter. You know, Enos Kanter was an international guy. He tried to play at Kentucky and he couldn't. Ricky Sanchez, to me, was the same thing. In fact, he tried to also play for John Calipari at Memphis. I'm trying to remember what year that was. You have it written down anywhere?
Ricky Sanchez was
Puerto Rican guy. It was in the earlier days. I think it was in 2005, 2003. It was around 2005 or 2003. But basically, he was a big guy originally from Puerto Rico.
2005,
the last one. And he was picked 35th by the Nuggets. He lived in Bradenton, Florida. But really, he was just an international prospect.
Nobody knew anything about him. Like, mm-hmm. He had offers from Texas, Miami, UCLA, and Florida, but it was just like, here's this kid, we know nothing about him.
Yeah, he was that decade's Bruno Caboclo. Like,
yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're drafted 35th. Denver just wasted a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, you know, doesn't go to college, and now he's in the Puerto Rican League, which might make him happy, but that's what you are. You're just a career Puerto Rican League guy.
Yeah, the 2001 class had quite a few of them. Four of them went into the lottery, but this one didn't, and his name was Ausman Cisse. He played at St. Jude Catholic High School in Montgomery, Alabama. We never really got an idea what college he wanted to go to. I don't think he even wanted to go to college. He got offers from Louisville, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Miami, and Arkansas. He went 47th overall to the Nuggets. I remember him playing a little bit for the Nuggets in 03, because the Nuggets in 03 were one of the worst teams in the history of the NBA. That was the team that tanked to get LeBron, and they wound up with Carmelo Anthony. That's the only thing I remember about Cisse.
I remember him as, like, people were high on him. Because he was athletic, and his brother went to Louisville. I remember that. So that, they think Louisville would have sort of – it seems like, you know, you'll find a trend here that it seems like Louisville is the one who got screwed by most of these kids.
Yeah, they lost out on a lot of guys. We'll probably talk about that at the very end, about what schools kind of lost out, because there's a few of them where you really think, oh, man, they really had a shot. Another one was
– But with him, just quickly on him, he was projected to be first round and slipped. And then all of a sudden, well, we have this guy. Do you want to spend 3 years teaching him, or do you want to give it to a roster spot to somebody, a veteran, who could provide help right now?
Yeah. So, and then we got Nadubi Ebi. He was going to he was in 2003. He was going to go to Arizona. He was originally from the United Kingdom in Nigeria. He played at Westbury Christian School in Houston, Texas. I do remember his name. He came out the same year as LeBron did, but that's the only thing I remember about him outside of that.
That's the funny thing. It's like, you're like, oh, man, high school to pro, why not let them? Look at LeBron did it. Everyone in the same class as LeBron that came out, not the best players. And this was, you know, Minnesota's one pick they had in 5 years, thanks to that Joe Smith fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick this kid, like, okay, we could develop him, and then lots of nothing.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Taj McDavid from 1996.
Oh, one quick note on Ndubi Ebi. Uh-huh. Currently in the Egyptian League.
Still?
That's where he is now. He's bounced around, and he's in Egypt. Mm. So these, you know, there's pro leagues in every country, and this is the cautionary tale of...
Yeah. This is what you might be if you're not careful.
This is, yeah, you're going to be in Egypt playing basketball.
Taj McDavid was one of the ones that went in 96 with Kobe and Jermaine O'Neal, but he didn't get drafted. He's one of those guys, along with another one, Corleone Young, who went in 1998, and he was drafted the second round by the Pistons. He only played 3 games. These are 2 guys in the late 90s where people said, no, you don't want to be this guy.
Well, Corleone Young was the tale because, you know, there's tons of stories of Detroit would send him out to do all the charity events, and they had really no plans of developing him, and once they realized he's too immature. Also, he wasn't going to qualify either, so that was the reason for him.
Even his high school coach at Wichita, Kansas, or Chatham, Virginia, because he played in 2 different high schools, but his high school coach said it even shocked him that he declared.
Taj McDavid, he is pretty much the, as I had mentioned earlier, the one who said, I'm as good as this guy, I'm as good as that guy. He's the one, well, I'll tie this into Ellis Richardson in a second. He's the one who said, I'm from South Carolina, I've played against Jermaine O'Neal, I'm just as good. Everyone's like, no, who are you? He didn't really have any offers from anybody, and he said, well, I'm going to go pro. I could do it. His mom was like, you should totally do it. His friends were, you should totally do it. And then he didn't get drafted. Then there was lawsuits, and he's not really a none-to-dunner because he played Division II for like a year and a couple games until he got injured. Mm. But he's just one of these kids, you know, tiny high school. I'm just as good as them. Why not? I'll just put my name in. He's the one who didn't even think. He just went online, you know, Google, how do I apply for the NBA draft? Let me send my name in. College coaches were like, who are you? So he wasn't recruited by anybody. He was just like a local kid.
He just threw his name in there. Yeah. It's like a write-in ballot.
Basically. Know? And then Ellis Richardson was 2 years later, who he's more of a cautionary tale because he just had bad advice from everybody. Mm-hmm. His mother was being his agent and then blamed this high school, you know, the division for being too weak, for not showcasing his talents. His friends said, oh man, you're good. Taj McDavid visited him in California and said, hey man, you're good.
Yeah.
You can do it. And he, you know, this kid had one offer from Cal Northridge. And he's like, well, I'm not going to bother going to school. I'm not going to get my grades. I'm not going to go. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to put my name in because all my friends say I'm the best.
Another one that I remember, this guy, he was in the 99 draft, and that was Leon Smith. He went to Martin Luther King High School in Chicago, Illinois, 6'10", 235. Sounds like Kevin Garnett, but definitely isn't Kevin Garnett. He had a psychological breakdown several times. He's been in trouble since then. He got a chance with the Atlanta Hawks in 2002 and with the Sonics in 2004. But after that, he was in the CBA and the D-League and every other place in between. But I do remember him. I remember Leon Smith.
He is just the definition of high school kids being too mature. You know, he had a terrible he was like a ward of the state and bounced around between foster homes. And he already had the red flags
this could be a problem.
Yeah, you know, he signed with Fresno State saying, I'm not going here. I'm just going to use you guys for advice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's really no leash in the NBA. Like, okay, you want to act like a knucklehead? You don't deserve to be here. And then, like you said, you know, 1 year in Atlanta, 1 year in Seattle, and then he just disappeared. And then I heard he, like, retired 4 years ago.
Yeah, Lenny Cook, he was a point guard. I think his year that he tried to come out was the same year as LeBron. And he actually said in an interview, I'm not kidding, he said he was better than LeBron.
Lenny Cook was the year before LeBron. Interesting story about him. He was a New York street kid, street ball legend.
Yeah, overrated.
LeBron replaced him as the it guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one, oh man, look at this high school kid. He's going to be the shit. He's the one. So I'm not going to go to school. He was going to go to St. John's because that was the local, you know, his local tie-in. And agent, you know, he listened to some agents who just leached on to him and said, no, you'll get the money, you'll get the money, you'll get the money. And, yeah, he was the one who was the high school media darling, and then LeBron basically took over for him.
Yeah, because I remember on Slam Magazine, when I was reading it as a kid, I remember LeBron and Lenny Cook, I think, were on the cover together. It was either him and Lenny or him and Sebastian Telfair, who was another high school to pro point guard type of guy.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, from right out of Brooklyn. The other one, D'Angelo Collins, you might want to shed light on this one, because this
D'Angelo Collins is, you can't tell me what I can do. age 13, arrested for assault with a deadly weapon. Age 15, arrested for felony assault. Blamed his agent, or, you know, took bad advice, blamed everyone else but himself. Everyone, even colleges, stayed away from him because, you know, he had a bad attitude. He hired an agent because he said in an interview, it shows confidence. That's just the way, oh, I see it on TV, I could do it. Oh, man, I watch CSNI TV, I could be a crime scene investigator. It doesn't matter, I'm prone to quick violent outbursts.
Signing an agent does is eliminate your options. Because the moment you sign with an agent, you can't go to school. You're done. Yeah. Your amateur status is finished.
And, I guess it didn't turn out too bad, because I guess he did turn it around and was able to be in China for a lot of years,
mm-hmm.
and hang around there and sort of, but it's just immaturity and red flags. It takes a while to overcome them, and you can't just force your way in, as a lot of these kids think.
Yeah, Collins wasn't drafted. Neither was Lenny Cook. Here's a guy that was drafted. In fact, I think he went 10th overall. But his story is sad and continues to be sad. And that's Robert Swift. He played at Bakersfield High School in Bakersfield, California. That's a good name, because he was baking a lot of stuff. his college choice was USC, but it all went downhill after that.
Nowadays it went downhill. He was just a good kid, you know, from base, 7 foot. He was athletic. It was, I always joked, like, oh, he reminded me of Mark Blount. He just, you know, he was just big and had feet. Yeah. did he go 10th? I think, he went 12th.
Overall.
I'm going to say 12th. That's just a guess. Now, I know we're just nitpicking that, but he was one. He rose up the draft boards because supposedly Danny Ainge wanted him, and then Seattle came in with, he didn't even see that. Like, you know, he came, you know, they drafted him sight unseen, and it's just a quick riser and never panned out, got injured, went to Japan for a year, got injured again. There's that well-known story of when his house got foreclosed on and there was just like guns and dog feces everywhere, and
yeah, and then he got arrested while he was sleeping in a house with a meth dealer, and he had a sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah, he's living with a 54-year-old meth dealer.
This is a great movie, but and just to confirm, you are right. He was 12th overall in the 2004 draft.
That was just a guess.
What was a good guess, asshole?
I am like 10th was a little too high. But it was, he's just a sad tale of immaturity, and now you've burnt all your bridges, you've spent your money too fast, now you're 29 years old, broke, and living with a 54-year-old meth dealer who says you're a good kid.
Well, if he says he's a good kid, you gotta believe it. You know, I didn't know he was living with, what's the name of the character in Breaking Bad? I'm totally forgetting about
Walter
it.
Walter White?
Walter White. He's living with Walter White. You know, if he was like Aaron Paul, maybe that would work out, but I don't think I think two Aaron Pauls aren't as tall as Robert Swift.
That's funny. Like, the meth guy was like, he doesn't deal, he doesn't take them, he just comes with me when I need to go pick up some money. I'm like, come on.
That's all he does. Now we're going to go ahead and get out of the cautionary tales, because that was really sad.
That was sad. Let's cheer up a little
now
bit.
Now we got one that kind of gets a little cheery, but also a little bit of a downer too. And that is Too Much Too Soon. The beacons for this category to me are the guys that we mentioned earlier, Daryl Dawkins and Bill Willoughby. They declared for the NBA draft in 1975. They were both going to go to Kentucky, but decided to go pro. Daryl Dawkins had a pretty good career, but I think it was more talk and flash than it was actual game. Bill Willoughby was a great athlete. He had a 47-inch vertical. Just to put that into perspective, the Instagram where Andrew Wiggins wowed everybody with his athleticism with the vertical. That was 44 inches. So this is actually 3 inches taller. Obviously, this is all Paul Bunyan stuff. Nobody really knows. Willoughby did play in the NBA for a little while, but he didn't really do much. So we're going to go ahead and talk about some of these guys. These are guys that were in the NBA for at least a few years. At least they made a bit of a mark, a smudge on the NBA map. But they had a lot of hype going into their arrival, and it just didn't pan out. The number one guy on this one is Kwame Brown.
Yeah, I thought we were going to cheer up a bit. I'm not cheered up.
Well, we're a little cheery. We're not talking about sleeping with meth dealers with sawed-off shotguns.
Kwame, you know, was supposed to go to Florida, and then that was the big year of all the big guys came out. There were
four guys picked in the lottery.
Yeah, and all were centers. All were 6'10", 6'11", guys.
Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler, Zagana Zsop, and then Cisse, who went to the second round.
Yeah, it was just the I'm better. You know, he was comparing himself to the other high school kids. He wasn't, you know, that was the famous interview was, you know, he told Michael Jordan, if you draft me, you're never going to regret it. And you're just, well, don't draft, you know, draft me, don't draft these other high school kids. Like, that's who you're reduced to comparing yourself to?
Mm-hmm.
Granted, okay, it was a weak draft with
it's one of the worst drafts ever, but I'm going to tell you, it's still not as bad as the 2000 draft, because 01 had Pau Gasol and Tony Parker.
Yeah, but it also had Eddie Griffin, Rodney White, and Kedrick
Brown. We're not going to talk about him, but Eddie Griffin's story. He's a one-and-doneer. Oh, that's such a sad end.
That's a sad tale, but, you know.
Kwame Brown went first overall, like you were saying, to the Wizards. Michael Jordan was running the team. He was planning a comeback, so everybody thought that Kwame was going to be the answer in the front court while Jordan would play, like, point forward or maybe play the guard spot. Didn't really work out. He played for the Wizards. He went to the Lakers, and then he went to Memphis, Detroit, Charlotte, Golden State, Philadelphia. Had really spun downhill when
He bounced around, and
yeah,
that was, you know, the problem with him was there was a lot of people, oh, I could salvage him. You know, he's only 25, yeah, but he's been in the league 6 years and still hasn't done anything. He's sort of like Tim Couch. He just sort of got ruined. He came too much too soon. Michael Jordan ruined his confidence.
But if you look at his numbers over 12 seasons, 6.6 points, 5.5 rebounds, not terrible. Not Corleone Young bad.
With the last two seasons, he was greatly injured, but, you know, he was still starting in Detroit, and then I think he started in Charlotte.
Yeah, the fellow 01 draft guy that we also have in Too Much Too Soon, that's Eddie Curry. He played at Thornwood High School in South Holland, Illinois. The college he was going to go to was DePaul. He was going to play for Pat Kennedy. He went fourth to the Bulls. Chandler also was picked out of high school to go to the Bulls that same draft class. Everyone made fun of Jerry Krause for doing that.
In retrospect, rightfully so.
Curry wasn't terrible when he was at his best.
Curry, the knock on them was, oh man, if they could only combine their talents and become one person. You know, Curry just didn't want to play. He was just lazy. He knew he was good. But he just didn't want to do it, which, you know, okay, I'm 7 foot, I'm dominant, but I just don't want to be. Andrew Bynum's sort of the same way. It's just this is what I have.
Yeah, but Bynum's peak was better than Curry's is the big key.
Oh, it was peak because Bynum for a while wanted to play. I don't think Eddie Curry really wanted to play ever. No. And it just looked like...
He had good years at the end with the Bulls. He suffered a heart problem, and there was a disagreement between management with the Bulls and Eddie Curry because he was a free agent about whether or not to pay him. So they traded him to the Knicks, and Isaiah Thomas said, okay, I'll pay him, and that wasn't smart, just like a lot of things Isaiah Thomas did when he was running the Knicks. He did average 19.5 points and 7 rebounds in 2006-2007 with the Knicks. So, at his best, he was good. He wound up winning a championship as a bit player with the Miami Heat, so at least he's got a trophy on or a ring on his case.
That's all that matters in the end, right?
Rings the thing, bro. Another one, this is the year before that. I think he was one of the only ones. There was two guys that went pro out of high school in 2000, and this is one of them, Darius Miles. I'm bopping my forehead right now with my fists. he was going to go to St. John's. He was out of East St. Louis High School in East St. Louis, Illinois. He was a superb athlete.
He was a superb athlete. He also didn't qualify for St. John's, which forced his hand as well, because apparently kids don't want to go the junior college route. He was good. I wouldn't put him on the too much too soon. It was just sort of, he got put into a bad situation.
Well, that's why I said that, because it was too much too, because he got put in such a bad spot.
That was the era of the Clippers where everyone just went for 4 years and left. It was just purgatory then. And then, where do you go? Cleveland, the other purgatory.
Oh, we were just talking about when Cissé played for the Nuggets in 03. Well, Cavs in 03 was the other team, and Miles got sent there in exchange for Andre Miller. And that was the year that the Cavs tanked in order to get LeBron. And, oh, man, poor Darius. He was also a co-star in The Perfect Score and National Lampoon's Van Wilder with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he had the Hollywood career going. In Portland, he was good in Portland.
He had a 47-point game.
Until he got injured, and then that killed his career. And that's the problem, is your career is done due to knee injuries, and you're 25.
Here's an interesting story about Miles. He had an $18 million kicker. But it was incentive-laden based on number of games played. And what happened is the Portland Trailblazers would have owed that money had he been able to play those last two games or last 10 games with any team. And they threatened to sue any team in the league that would do it. And the NBA Players Union shot it down. Well, the Grizzlies did it. So they signed him to the remainder of the season in 09. And Miles, for the 10 games or whatever number of games he played, he got his $18 million. And Portland Trailblazers were fucking fuming mad.
Yeah, because that killed their cap.
Exactly. That was a funny story. I remember that came out of that. We talked about him just recently. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school senior the year after LeBron was. They did a documentary about him called Through the Fire. Really, really good documentary. He came out of Brooklyn, Abraham Lincoln High School, and that is Sebastian Telfair. We actually just recently saw him playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. This guy was a 6 foot point guard. He just should not have gone to the NBA.
6 foot is generous. He was more like 5'10", and that's half the problem with these kids is the media. They should not be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They should not be having ESPN Friday night.
Well, it's because of LeBron. LeBron was the best, and he was so good as a rookie that they said, well, obviously the next one will be just as good.
Yeah, we need to go find 10 other kids now to fill their head.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian, another Louisville kid.
Mm-hmm. Rick Pitino lost on him, too.
Everyone was sort of waiting for him to turn it around, which is like, you're not going to turn around if you're a 5'11 point guard. bounced through China and had this little stint now, but before now, he'd been sort of off the radar and just at the end of the bench for many years, and that's how it ends. Would he have been in the NBA if he went to Louisville? That's a good question.
I think he'd have been better off. I'll put it that way. And Louisville that year went to the Final Four. It would have been interesting. And he would have played with Francisco Garcia. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Livingston had been able to play on that team.
Yeah, but would he have gone 13th?
Probably not. Probably.
He would have gone like the end of the first, top second.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like your stock gets dropped.
Your stock drops because you're 5'11".
Well, not only that, it shows what you actually are. Instead of just playing well in the McDonald's All-American game on ESPN, and all the scouts are goo goo gaga over what you did for 20 minutes in a meaningless game.
Yeah.
Jonathan Bender, this guy's from Picayune, Mississippi, not too far from where I live. Picayune Memorial High School. He was going to go to Mississippi State. He had the score. We just talked about the McDonald's All-American game. He has the record, I believe, still in scoring in a game in the McDonald's All-American game with, I think, 30 points. And that was the that was the eureka for all these NBA scouts that saw him, like, oh, he's going to be a star. So he went pro, and he went fifth overall, originally drafted by the Raptors, and then the Pacers wanted him so badly that they actually traded Antonio Davis, who is still a really good player, in exchange for Bender.
Yep, and what happened to his career? He did his 4 years, and they still didn't know what they had. And then you move on, we have to give him $30 million because he still might be good.
Yeah, he did get a contract, did he? Yeah.
Yep.
He did. After everyone knew he had knee problems, so.
Well, that was, he's still young, he could shake it off, he could still come back, and, you know, then that draft, that was the same Sean Marion draft.
Yes.
So that was, Marion Artest?
Marion Artest, Andre Miller, Elton Brand, Steve Francis, Corey Maggette. I think we were going to say the whole draft. But
you could say all these people, and then you picked
Jason
Jonathan
Terry.
Bender.
Yeah.
You could have had people who could have helped you, and then you picked this kid hoping he's the next Garnett, and it flamed out on you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's going to do that one for Too Much Too Soon. This is where we're sort of getting to the, I guess you could call them the good players. I would call them solid additions. Like, you know how you hear that all the time in the NFL draft when they draft a solid addition? Well, this is how I feel with a lot of these players. You know, I wanted to talk about – go ahead.
Don't forget, these are your rankings, so
these are my rankings.
There's a very,
so
very generous Christmas scale to these people.
So if Adam disagrees, he will not be scared to tell me, and he won't be scared to tell any of these players to their face. and so this one, I was actually pretty generous, like he was saying, and that was Zagana Job. He went into the 2001 draft. His draft ranking was 8th. And he went to the Cleveland Cavaliers. After the Cavs, he went to the Dallas Mavericks. That's why I put him as a solid addition, because defensively with the Mavericks, he was a very good center for them.
Because he just stood there.
don't let Tim Duncan score 40 points. That was basically his job.
That's what you're basing everything on? All right, let me just pull up his stats here. He never played more than 14 minutes a season.
He scored 10 points 4 times.
Yeah, that's a solid addition. See, the problem is with these kids is they're getting drafted too high with teams that are already bad. They're better just redshirting a year in the NBA, learn the system, then come in. I don't know how you're a solid addition. If you do your 4 years, the most you've averaged in your first 4 years is 13 minutes with 2.3 points.
Yeah, and he was going
to go. That's all garbage time.
He was going to go to Virginia anyway, so I don't think anybody was going to really watch him when he was in college.
Exactly. Oh, he turned around in Dallas by just – Nowitzki is the one who just played two positions mostly.
Exactly.
You played 14 years. Yeah, you're on Charlotte with 10 other big guys who don't do anything.
He played 14 seasons with Cleveland, Dallas, the New Jersey Nets at the time, and the Charlotte at the time Bobcats. The next one is Andre Blotch. I think this one is a pretty decent player. I wouldn't call him a total bust.
He is another head case. That is his problem. It's just pure immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's he has to be 28, 29 now, still immature.
Yeah, still he's in China.
He's in China. Now he's a Filipino citizen.
Mm-hmm.
After getting naturalized for the tournament, for the FIBA tournament.
How do you get naturalized? Is it a fun process?
Lots of paperwork, I would assume. But he most likely, he's from the Syracuse area. People assumed he was just going to go to Syracuse. Dropped to the second round due to attitude problems, which he hasn't shook. All the red flags are still there.
Yeah, true. He went to South Kent Prep School in South Kent, Connecticut. I bet Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo knows where that is, but I don't.
I've been there.
You've been there?
I played a game there.
So if you run into Andre Blotch, say hi for me. Darrell Wright, let me see where he went. Actually, you know what?
He went to South Kent Prep School
in Connecticut. I wonder if they played, they probably played on the same squad for a year or two. He's more of a slasher, but he was really a great three-point shooter. He was going to go to DePaul, and he decided against it, and he got drafted 19th overall by the Miami Heat.
Well, that DePaul ultimately is the ultimate loser of all of this because their program was terrible, and they could have had Eddie Curry and Darrell White. Mm-hmm. You know, all you had is Quentin Richardson is the best you could pump out.
Yeah.
It would have helped if you had somebody else in there. Darrell was supposed to be the next T-Mac. He was the closest thing to T-Mac since T-Mac. Darrell, I also want to say, is from California and did 1 year at South Kent because his grades weren't up.
Oh, so that's why he transferred over to play in Connecticut.
That's just he's another case of, well, are you going to develop now? We're still waiting.
I think he's still in the NBA. He's with the Portland Trail Blazers, and he's a really good 3-point shooter. Though his percentage is career is 36%. He averages 8 points a game. He averaged 16 points a game 1 year with the Golden State Warriors back in 2011. So his best has been okay.
Yeah, because he's just become a specialist now.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State was the 1 year, but that required 6 years of sitting in Miami.
Yes.
Which, again, you've now, what did you, thanks for drafting me, Miami, what did we get? We gave you a ring, but
ring's
nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm. Next one here we got on the docket, that's going to be, it's two guys I think that were drafted by the Portland Trailblazers, so we'll bundle them together. The first one is Martell Webster. This is in 2005, the last year that none and duns were available. He went to Seattle Prep School in Seattle, Washington. He still plays. He was actually amnestied and now plays for the Washington Wizards. You know, his career overall has been pretty forgettable. I don't really remember one great Martell Webster game.
Exactly that, and well, let's just say who he's bundled with. Who's the other player, quickly?
I think it's Travis Outlaw.
Both amnestied.
Both of them got amnestied, yeah, because Travis got the amnesty by the Nets.
There is your caught, and then he got then the Knicks got him and dumped him to Philly. Who now? He's a free agent right now.
Who's that?
And that's the Travis Outlaw.
Outlaw is out of the mix.
Yeah, so here's your cautionary tale of, you know, we spent $30 million hoping you would be something. Now we have to amnesty you.
Well, Martell Webster had the knee problems. I don't think Webster really had terrible – well, I guess you could say he had injury issues. He only played 38 games with the Kings in 2013, only 11 games for the Portland Trail Blazers. He only played 34 games in the 2009-2010 season when he was traded from Portland to the Clippers. So, I mean...
Well, Martell, he's another, you know, he's now just a three-point specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he got overpaid in Washington because he has the same agent as John Wall, so let's make them all happy, and they're good friends. So.
That's a situation where I wish college-wise for the school it really would have worked out when it came to Webster, because he was going to go to Washington. And Washington at the time had Nate Robinson, they had Brandon Roy, and then they had another guy named Will Conroy, who I don't think a lot of people know, but he played in the D-League for a long time, and he was a really good player. Washington...
Was that before Spencer Hawes, or...?
It was before Spencer. Okay. Spencer was a year or two later. But that was a really good Washington team.
His stock wouldn't have been hurt.
No, I think it would have helped him because it would have been like Tyrus Thomas. He would have been an athlete on a really good team. You know, Travis Outlaw was going to go to Mississippi State. He came from Starkville. So,
and just another, well, you're going to develop, you're going to turn that corner. Nope, you're not turning that corner. Come on, Travis, and your skinniest legs of all time there. It's like a skeleton.
I wanted to give this guy his own category, but I couldn't. I'll call him a solid addition, but no more than that. And that is J.R. Smith. He went to St. Benedict's Prep School in Newark, New Jersey. He was going to go to North Carolina. Great shooter, good athlete at the time when he came out. He was drafted by the Hornets. I do remember he had the slam dunk contest where he tried the same dunk over and over and over and over again. He couldn't get it. J.R. Smith.
Another head case.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it out there, leave it hanging out there for J.R. Smith.
It was, you know, everybody knows now, he wore his welcome out on the Hornets because he was a head case. Went to Denver, oh, he could light it up, he's still a head case.
Chauncey Billups couldn't stand him.
Now he's in New York, then, you know, they want to trade him, but nobody wants him because he's a head case.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we'll say J.R. Smith, now in China. Because he has a talent, just he never figured it out maturity-wise.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get out of that one, the solid additions. Now we're going to go to a category that we kind of bundled all together. It's a bit of a wider category, and that is diamonds in the rough. Guys that probably weren't anticipated to be really good players, and they, even though they went out of high school as McDonald's All-Americans and such, but I don't think a lot of people had really high expectations for some of these guys. It was kind of wait and see. And then even though we had to wait for some of these guys, some of them turned out to be pretty good players. One of them, even though he's just been solid throughout his career, he's never really been great. He was one of the early none and dunners back in 1997, and that was Al Harrington.
Al Harrington, name me a good Al Harrington game. He was just always
he played for the Warriors in 07 when they upset the Mavericks.
You know, he was there in the Pacers, and he was just always the second or third option, really, I think.
Maybe worse. College of choice was either Seton Hall or NC State. I don't think anybody really got true confirmation on that. He was picked 25th overall in the 98 draft by the Pacers. He played 16 years. That's unbelievable. Indiana, Atlanta, Golden State, Denver, New York, Orlando, and Washington. I think he is overseas now. He averaged 13.5 points a game.
He's, you know, he developed into a soccer. I read he was going to go to Seton Hall because, they were getting Eddie Griffin in and they were both Jersey guys. They were going to restore that.
Yeah. They had Ty. I remember when they had Ty Shine and, oh man, who was that? Andre Emmett. I remember Andre Emmett.
I thought he went to Seton Hall.
Who's that?
Never mind. We were just talking about.
We're talking about Seton Hall.
Which I'm like, what do we mean? I thought we're talking. What?
Oh no, I'm thinking of Andre Barrett. Barrett and Andy Griffin went together, and probably Harrington was going to go with him.
Well, yeah, Al Harrington, he put in a solid career. Not spectacular. Not going to wow you.
Mm-hmm.
His best years were Atlanta, I think. Golden State. That, you know, right in his prime, and then just sort of fell off, got old, got a little bigger, and now he's in the Chinese League.
Oh, with all our buddies like Jordan Crawford and Andre Blotch and Emmanuel Mudiay. That's actually not a bad league.
No, it's not a bad league of just NBA cast-offs. If you could put like a team together of like the two players that China could get, you'll find some interesting names out there.
Yeah, why don't we just put all of them on the same team and have them dominate all the Chinese clubs?
It's just team headcase.
Yeah, team headcase.
Yeah, Beasley, Delonte,
the nightmare team, the Monstars.
That would just be so entertaining. Would you not want to see Delonte West, Michael Beasley, and Ron Artest on the same team? That would just be funny to watch.
See if they all run the same direction on the court. another guy who I guess I would consider him a head case, but he was a tough as nails player, and that was Deshaun Stevenson. He went to Washington Union High School in Fresno, California. He was going to go to Kansas. Roy Williams badly wanted him to go there. He said he was the most talented player he ever saw in high school at the time. But then again, all those guys say that when you're recruiting them. Here's an interesting note. Between 1996 and 2003, there were only two guards that were drafted out of high school. One of them was Kobe Bryant in 96 by the Lakers. The other was Deshaun Stevenson by the Jazz.
Yeah. One turned out well. One did not work out so well for the Jazz.
But he was a good defender. And I remember he got in LeBron's head in the 2011 NBA Finals with the Mavericks.
Yeah, and he also has a tattoo of Abraham Lincoln on his neck. And bounced around to – he was on like six teams, I think.
Yeah, he was he went from to quite a few places. Let me take a look and see if I can find all of them. But he played for a long time with Utah. Then he played a couple of years where he had career years with Orlando. And it was in Washington that he became infamous because he said some comments about LeBron when they were playing against the Cavaliers in the playoffs.
I know he did a year with the Nets.
Yeah, he did. We played for the Nets in 2012.
So who are we missing? Can we name all the teams?
The Atlanta Hawks. Okay. At the very end, he played for the Hawks. He tried to play for the Miami Heat last season, but he didn't get in.
And ironically, is nowhere. Nobody wanted him because he's a head case. And at some point, you're 30 years old. The talent is outweighed by the off court problems. So,
yeah, he was okay. I wouldn't call him terrible. That's why I put him in here. But if you want to call him more of like just a solid addition, I can understand that. This is a guy that I would have 3 years ago, I would have thrown this dude in the bottom, and that was Gerald Green. He played at Gulf Shores Academy in Houston, Texas. He was going to go to Oklahoma State. That was going to be really good because Oklahoma State at the time had Joey Graham and Tony Allen and John Lucas III, and they had just gone to the Final Four. I kind of wish in hindsight he would have just gone to the NBA or gone to college. The thing is, though, I know he won the slam dunk contest in 07. I know he had the famous dunk where he blew the candle off the birthday cake. But or off the cupcake, I guess I could say accurately. But he kind of disappeared in the late 2000s, and then all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, he popped up again, and now he's a good player.
He never was a bad player. He just didn't know how to play. He just, you know, in high school, there's no set plays. It's just run out and shoot and give it to the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then all of a sudden, you know, that draft was Martell versus Gerald Green. Who's going to pick who? Because those were the two, you know, the two big guys. And Gerald slipped to the Celtics. He was, you know, everyone was waiting for him to do something because he could jump out of the gym. He just had no clue how to play.
Yeah.
And then when he gets sent to Minnesota, they have no loyalty to him. Then he bounced to somewhere else, like Dallas or Houston or something.
Then he went overseas.
Then he was in the Russian League for a year or two. And then that's when he decided, I'm going to sit down and learn to play. He had a 10-day stint in Jersey.
But I remember in Jersey, he made this incredible dunk, which is what he's known for. He did one of these dunks that was like one of those amazing ones that you'll always see kind of out of context on the highlight packages. And that kind of got his foot back in the door. And then he played as a bench guy for the Pacers. And then they traded him and Miles Plumlee to the Suns in exchange for Louis Scola. And they both, Plumlee and Green, have wound up having career years in Phoenix.
Yeah. Gerald, you know, he's a player who matured. It took him to be out of the league for 2 years for him to mature. But at the same time, Boston wasn't waiting on him. And then once you get traded from the team that drafts you, you're just another person. And if you don't know how to play, you're not going to get on the court. You're not in the court. You're not going to play. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of cold nights, I guess, for him to be like, I don't want this. It's a good tale that he's doing.
Yeah, that's a happy ending. Thank God we found one. This is the last of the high school players, if you look at it really in terms of chronology. He went 56th in the 2005 draft. He was picked by the Detroit Pistons. But this is a good player. He went to Westchester High School in Los Angeles, California, and that was Amir Johnson.
He has done absolutely – he's just the glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
He went – you know, he went to the NBA, fell to the second round. This was already – people were already sick of the high school kids.
Learned in Detroit alongside Jason Maxiel.
Was supposed to go to Louisville.
Or Rick Pitino.
Just, you know, what has he done? Toronto loves him because he's just this, you know, blue-collar, seventh, eighth man off the bench.
He never gets hurt. He's a solid rebounder, and he always plays hard.
But he's not an all-star and
never.
Has no – his ceiling was very low. And he's pretty much lived up to
Well, that's why I think he went so low. Like, you know, it's weird because if you look – Adam, if you look at the chronology of the draft picks that came out of high school, you know, there's a pretty steady stream of them. There's a lot of them in 2001. But it seemed like after LeBron came out in 2004 and 2005, it just got out of hand. And it was like, okay, we got to shut this shit down.
Yeah, when LeBron came out, five got picked the next year. Mm-hmm. There were like eight or nine. And the following year, there was eight or nine. And it's just you have kids who shouldn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a couple of names missing, which are, I wouldn't say exceptions to the rule, but they all could have been – they would have benefited from a year or two in college.
All the remaining players on the list that we're talking about right now, they were all 04, 05 guys.
Yeah. And, okay, they're in the league for 10 years now. What have you shown me, Amir Johnson? Okay, you'll start, but you're not going to – you'll play your 25 minutes and just be a rebound guy, I guess. You're not – the wow factor was gone. Scouts started to learn we can't find the next Kobe. The same thing with the Euro fascination of we're going to find the next Nowitzki. Let's draft every European guy that comes out. And then they just learn they won't have a job if they keep drafting these guys.
Actually, there's one more from the that's not from the 04-05 class that we're going to talk about in this group, and that's in 03. the Celtics, another one, another high school guy that the Celtics took, Kendrick Perkins, Clifton Ozen High School in Beaumont, Texas. He was going to go to Memphis. You know, Kendrick did what he had to do. You know, he wasn't a terrible player. He was a good defensive guy. He was burly. He was tough. You didn't want to meet him down a dark alleyway.
You also didn't want him shooting the ball.
Yeah, you didn't want him at a McDonald's either. But you know, Kendrick's Kendrick. You know, he was a good defensive center. He served his purpose so that Kevin Garnett at the time didn't have to play down low all the time by himself. In Oklahoma City, has he been overpaid? Absolutely. He definitely declined after he signed his deal. But I wouldn't call him a terrible player.
Well, the problem is now you're 28 and you've been garbage for like 3 years due to injuries and just slowing down.
Yeah, and you're not playing well in your contract year.
Yeah, he's, you know, what can we say about him? People have been wanting to get rid of him since for years now. But it's
starting center on an NBA championship team.
Yeah, you're a starting center, but you couldn't sign James Harden because you didn't want to amnesty Perkins. Okay, made a good pick there.
All right, now the 04 guys. Sean Livingston, we love this guy. He played in Peoria Central in Peoria, Illinois. That's also, I believe, the home of Wayne's World. Party time, excellent. He was going to go to Duke. I think that would have been a really cool fit because he was so different from a lot of the other Duke guys. I think that would have put him over the top. Do you remember much about Sean Livingston before his knee injuries?
He had talent before his injuries. It showed like he was ready to turn the corner. His stats weren't bad. He was playing, and then there was just a horrific knee injury.
That was in 07. At the time, he was having career highs in points, rebounds, and assists. It was 9.3 points, 3.4 rebounds, 5.1 assists. So he was coming along, and people forget this. Before the knee injury, the Clippers, the year before that and that season, the Clippers were good. The Clippers were going to make the playoffs, and they had gotten to the second round of the playoffs and went 7 games with the Suns the year before. So Sean Livingston was not only going upwards, he was going upwards on a good team that had forward-looking prospects. And then his knee completely got torn in half on a layup, on a botched layup against the Bobcats, and it was so awful.
But, you know, he thankfully, A, he came back, and then B, he came back smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And just a high basketball IQ has sort of saved him.
Well, what's so amazing about him is that he knew he was going to have to work his way back in it. He went to the D League. He played for the Miami Heat. He went with the Thunder. He went with the Wizards, the Bucks, Cleveland on that terrible team. He tried every team that would take him in order for him so that he could prove that he belonged again in the NBA. And that should be appreciated because a lot of these other high schoolers, they just up and quit.
That's like the same thing with Gerald Green. I'm going to go to Russia. I'm going to come back. I'm going to try again. You know, a couple of these people, like we said, they go off to China. They do their 3-4 years, disappear.
Yeah, and now he's the backup point guard on arguably the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, but Golden State's on automatic, and they'd be – he's not really providing much, but it's not his fault.
Another 04 guy, Jay Smooth, Josh Smith. He went to the infamous Oak Hill Academy. Everybody who has gone to Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky has probably gone to Oak Hill Academy.
That's just a straight ACC funnel.
That is
right
a funnel.
There.
Yeah, that is a funnel system for college basketball. That's all that is. For McDonald's All-Americans. Mouth of Wilson, Virginia is where that school is at. He was going to go to Indiana and play for Mike Davis. But he decided to go pro. He was drafted 17th overall by the Hawks. If you look at that draft pick and his production, that's actually a value pick.
Well, that's why, because the problem is you have these high school kids who are drafted too high by bad teams who could have addressed other needs. He fit in and was able to go slow, and thanks to the help of the players around him.
Yeah, Al Horford, Joe Johnson, and such.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to go start and be like, okay, kid, show us what you got. It was, these two guys, you lean on them. They know what to do. Problem is, now he sort of got crazy with, I feel like, shooting threes, and now the whole Detroit thing hasn't worked out, and he's still good.
nothing in Detroit's working out right now. Al Jefferson, I couldn't believe he wasn't an all-star, but he's not yet. He went to Prentice High School in Prentice, Mississippi. He was going to go to Arkansas and play for Stan Heath, but he decided to go pro like a lot of these guys in 04 did. He was also drafted by the Celtics, I believe, the same year that Gerald Green was, right?
No.
Or was that the year before that?
That was the year, but that was the smoke screen because everybody thought the Celtics were going to draft Robert Swift. Al Jefferson falls to them. I believe it was between like Al. Was that the one? It was Gerald Green or Danny Granger. Mm-hmm. That was just Al Jefferson just fell. We knew he had talent. We knew he couldn't play defense. He's basically been as advertised, went to Utah because they paid him the most.
He was also the centerpiece of the return package to get Kevin Garnett.
Yep, and then developed a drinking problem in Minnesota. And then
a lot of people
turned around, went to Charlotte because they gave him the most money, and then, you know, he's become a nice tail, but his ankles are falling apart now.
Yeah, but he's played very well. He made good money in Charlotte, and he's basically proven that
he's played well, but I'm not surprised he's not an all-star. He hasn't put up, you know, superb numbers. He's put up good numbers.
He's a consistent double-double guy, which is hard to find.
He's consistent, but then he doesn't play any defense, so you're, you know, he's just a liability. You know, you're giving as many points as you're getting from him.
Here's our 05 guys to finish the diamonds in the rough. Monte Ellis, Monte have it all. Lanier High School in Jackson, Mississippi. He was going to go to Mississippi State. This is the third guy that skipped out on playing in Mississippi State. I almost feel bad for that school. They were drafted 40. He was drafted 40th, so he was drafted in the second round in 2005 by the Golden State Warriors.
And then just shot his way. You know, shot his
That's a guy that I don't think anyone thought – they thought he was going to be James Lang. I bet. Now, James Lang was a big man. Monte was a little guard. But I bet people really thought, I don't know what's going to come of this guy. Let's just see. And then within 3 years, he was one of the best two guards in the league.
Yep. And then he – but he would have benefited from being in college.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if he had at least 1 year where he could show his stuff, I think his stock would have been higher. I think it would have been a first rounder at the worst.
You know, you're drafting this kid out of high school who's like a 6'3 shooting guard. Okay, you're undersized. You better make them. And okay, he's making buckets. That's all you could say, I guess.
Another guy making buckets for the Toronto Raptors now, still in the NBA, is Lou Williams. He was drafted in the same year as Monte Ellis. He was also picked in the second round. He went 5 picks down from where Monte did. He was picked 45th overall by the 76ers. He was originally at South Gwinnett High School in Snellville, Georgia, and he was going to go to the University of Georgia, so he was going to go to his local school. I don't know how serious he really was, because Georgia at the time was on probation from the Jim Herrick scandal, so I don't know if he really ever thought about going. Lou Williams is a really good player, though.
He's good, but he's undersized, and he's going to give you what he's going to give you.
Yeah, but Philadelphia was patient with him. They said, look, we know you're a smaller guard coming out of high school. We know you're playing behind Allen Iverson. It's going to take time. Just wait your turn. And by the time we got to the late 2000s, he had basically emerged as a really good two guard.
Well, he emerged as a really good backup and sixth man. And you're not going to get anything starting from him.
No, never.
You're going to get 25 minutes, 12 points a game on 12 shots. Whether you like it or not, you're going to... You know, he's going to shoot.
Here's another guy that we have been seeing more of this year, but probably because of injuries and absences for Indiana, and that's C.J. Miles. He went to Skyline High School in Dallas, Texas. He was going to go play for Rick Barnes at Texas, and he'd made the smartest decision ever. He said, no, Rick Barnes, I don't want to play for you. he got picked 34th by the Utah Jazz. He had some good years with Utah before he wound up with Cleveland, and now he plays for Indiana. I do remember some games where C.J. Miles looked like the best player on the court.
I don't remember much about him. He was just there, and like, who is this Miles kid? And he might be the best player on the court, but he's not enough for me to make an impression of. You're not getting – I don't know. I don't know
well,
what
stood out
say.
About him is that he was a 6'6 guard. So he could play the forward spot, so he didn't have to guard, you know, the top guard on the team all the time. So he could kind of slash and kick and do a lot of things like that. And he played with Wesley Matthews in Utah, so, you know, they had a good combination going on before Wesley went to Portland.
Yeah, that was the thing, is you're always second banana to somebody else, and you know, what do? Okay, you don't shoot super well, and you're not taking a ton of shots, you're not on the floor much. I don't know, he just didn't leave an impression with me, and you know, okay, you're 27, you're on Indiana now, what are you doing?
and that's gonna be doing it for that part. Diamonds in the Rough, and this is going to be finishing off the list, and that's going to be the All-Stars, the guys that actually made the All-Star team from the None and Done list. Now, one of them did make the All-Star game in 2012, but outside of that, I would not put him even near this list, and that was Andrew Bynum. He went to St. Joseph High School in, how do you say that, Metochen, New Jersey? Metuchen?
Oh, Metuchen.
Metuchen, New Jersey. Yeah, I'm not an Upper East guy. He was picked 10th overall by the Lakers. He was going to go to UConn, like I just mentioned. He looked like the best center in the league for 1 year in 2012.
Very generous rankings you have.
It's only generous because he was an All-Star, Adam. That's the only reason.
He is another person who did not want to play basketball, but he's 7 foot, so therefore he has to.
Messed his knee up by bowling.
You know, it's just immature and could have been good, but whatever.
Didn't have the 1-2. But in terms of, like, overall talent, really good. Like, when he applied himself when Kobe was on his ass, I mean, Andrew Bynum could work. You know, there were some days where he played for the Lakers where I was like, I don't know, Kobe's the best player or Andrew Bynum's the best player. But definitely, the moment he got separated from Kobe, he didn't have the 1-2 anymore. He stopped caring, and it shows because now he's not in the NBA anymore.
Yep.
And I don't even think he's 30 yet.
Obviously, other All-Stars, we could just quickly gloss over them because we've already mentioned them a lot. Tracy McGrady and Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, well, Tracy McGrady, you know, I wouldn't put him in that, like, in that upper tier. I've never considered Tracy McGrady in the upper tier, honestly, of anything. He was going to go play at Kentucky, but Rick Pitino left for the Celtics, and that was kind of one of the straw that broke the camel's back for him going to the NBA anyway. He played in Durham, North Carolina. And then another guy in the Carolinas, you just mentioned Jermaine O'Neal. He played in Eau Claire in Columbia. He was going to go play at the University of South Carolina for Eddie Fogler.
You know, for one, if Andrew Bynum is a one-time All-Star and you put him this high, how are these guys not, like, superstars on your rankings?
Well, only because it's an All-Star. That's it. That's the
well, McGrady has 7 All-Stars.
McGrady, Jermaine O'Neal is a 6-time All-Star. How is that possible?
with, you know, Tracy McGrady, he was what he was. Okay, he didn't do it in the playoffs. Whatever. Jermaine O'Neal took him a while to get going. But once he got going,
very good.
Very, very good.
Played 19 seasons.
Yeah, but how many full seasons of those 19, really? Lots of injuries among those.
Well, one of them because of, thanks to Ron Artest's stupidity. But we'll just leave that one out there. Amari Stoudemire, I don't even know. He finished at Cypress Creek High School, but he went to 5 different high schools in 2 different states at 6 different times. So, obviously, he wasn't even going to be eligible probably to play by the NCAA, even if he wanted to go play at Memphis, which is where he wanted to play, or at least where John Calipari convinced him to play. He was drafted 9th overall by the Suns in 2002. I remember Amari Stoudemire because they did a story on him in Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, and I remember reading his profiles in Slam magazine when he was in high school, and everybody said, "Man, I know he's got problems. I know he's got a troubled home life, but Amari Stoudemire is really fucking good." And I remember when I saw him as a rookie, I said, "Man, they were all right."
And then he turned it around. It wasn't his fault. The Knicks, you know, gave him all that money.
Mm-hmm.
Because they lost out in LeBron, and
it wasn't a bad deal at the time because he had just come off a career year in Phoenix.
It was a bad deal because they didn't get insurance on his legs.
That's true.
It was just, oh, you're going to give him $100 million with you're paying him
5 years, $100 million with no out. Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that. And you know, he's a definition of a player who's took that troubled past, didn't qualify, and now all of a sudden he's just a respected player on and off the court.
Here's another big, but he's more of the defensive variety, and that is Tyson Chandler. He played at Dominguez High School in Compton, California. No one really sure where he was going to go. A lot of people say he was going to lean towards UCLA. He was drafted second overall by Chicago, same year that Eddie Curry was taken. I really can't argue, though, with his accomplishments. 2012 Defensive Player of the Year, won an Olympic gold medal that same year in London. He was an all-star a year later. He won a title as the best defensive player for Dallas in 2011. I mean, he's had a solid career.
Yeah, but he learned, he quickly learned, I don't have the talent to be an offensive threat, so I'm just going to be the best defensive player I can. Mm-hmm. And he's basically been that.
Yeah, I mean, he served his purpose. He had to find – you see, that's what I think – that's why I like Deshaun Stevenson more than others do, because I felt like Deshaun said, okay, I'm coming out of high school, but I know my limitations now that I've played in the NBA and now that I see what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. Tyson Chandler did the same thing, and he became a defensive stalwart in the paint. Has he become – is he still a defensive stalwart for Dallas these days? Not so much, but he's kind of reinvigorated himself playing with Dirk again. But end of story, Tyson Chandler had a better career than I think a lot of people would expect.
Yeah, because he wanted to play and he stayed in the league. And, he is – everybody knows who he is and what he can and cannot do.
Did he get overpaid? Probably.
Yeah.
A lot of players get overpaid.
Yep, and last on our list is
1998 second round pick Rashard Lewis. He went to a Leaf Elsick High School in the Leaf, Texas. A lot of these guys came from Texas and Illinois for some reason. The college of choice, no one's sure. People thought Houston. The other two were Kansas and Florida State. He actually fell along with Corleone Young. As the high school to pro guys that didn't get picked. But here's the saddest part. He was in the green room that year.
Yep, that was...
waited, like Aaron Rodgers in 05, he waited and waited and waited, and he went in the second round to the Seattle Sonics, and he swore that day in an interview that he was going to prove everybody wrong. And in a way, he kind of did. He was a two-time All-Star with the once with the Sonics, once with the Orlando Magic. I remember in 09... when the Magic went to the finals, Rashard Lewis, to me, was their best player.
Yep.
He was really good. He was like a stretch four, only he wasn't overtly big or strong.
Yep, and, with him, horribly overpaid from Orlando.
Oh, absolutely. He got a max deal in Orlando when he shouldn't have gotten one.
And then got amnesty at the end, if I'm not mistaken.
He had his contract bought out by the Hornets in his last year, and then because it was a convenient buyout factor, it was not an amnesty, though. I do have confirmation for that. And then he turned around and went to the Miami Heat.
Okay, but with Rashard, took 3 years for him to get going. His first 2 years, he didn't really do anything. Another player, the problem is these kids, they're not just coming in day one destroying everybody anymore, and even these top cases, it still took a while. So
yeah, well, it definitely took a while for Rashard, but Seattle was patient with him at the time. They didn't really rush him either.
Well, that's the thing.
Also, their ownership position was kind of let's not rock the boat. Let's just kind of wait out there and see how it goes. And actually, that actually benefited Rashard at the end.
Yeah, that it's just the right situation, the right pick, and some kids go to, purgatory in the Clippers or Cleveland, their career dies. You go to the right team, your career blossoms.
Well, the worst thing for all these high school guys that I've noticed, Adam, is the moment they get moved. Because if they get moved and they get, moved again maybe a year later, then you get a reputation of, okay, nobody, you don't have a home, you don't have an identity. So then you notice, once a guy gets, Kwame Brown, once a guy gets, traded about a year, if he gets traded, a second time, then it goes off the grid. Then he's going to have to find 10-day contracts. Then he's going to have to find a place to go for the next season. He's going to have to make a training camp roster. And it starts going downhill from there for a lot of these guys because they start losing their confidence and they're too young to try to find the resolve to figure out how to make their way in the NBA.
Yep, that's the thing, and, you know, we're going to get into this, you know, upcoming. We got the one-and-doners we'll talk about, see if anything really changed, but...
Do you like the one-and-done rule? Do you like the fact that these high school players can't go anymore?
Yeah, because for every, you know, Gerald Green, oh, well, look at him, he's doing good, and not at first, kids. You know, look at Leon Smith, he's in the statistic book, okay. I think of this case, I could say like maybe, you know, 75% would have benefited or their stock would have been just as good if they went to college.
Well, not only that, the McDonald's All-American game, you know, it was nationally televised after once we got to the new millennium. And I felt like it became – the thing is, I didn't like it when it was in the early 2000s and I would watch these games and they would say, oh, I wonder what he'll do in the NBA. And I always had it in the back of my mind like – I don't think that's going to work out really well for that guy, you know. But in now, when I watch it, when I see these guys like, oh, he's going to go to North Carolina, oh, he's going to go to Duke, oh, he's going to go to Kansas. Now it's like, okay, I could look forward to something because more likely than not, all these guys are going to be really good in college. In the NBA, you're not sure. Like, you might never see these guys again.
Well, it's like, how do you scout these kids? Oh, you're in the All-Star game. Yeah, you're playing against other players who are there. But how are you going to scout this? You know, the kid at the game who is playing against, you know, the 5'4 point guard.
Well, that's the funniest part about Kwame Brown. When he did his individual workouts, they didn't work him out against, like, the veterans. They worked him out against Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't prove much because you're playing high school guys. It's high school guys against high school guys. You put up Kwame Brown against, like, an experienced guy like a Drew Gooden or a Carlos Boozer, then maybe you're proving yourself.
Exactly. So I'm a fan of the rule. It's been better for college. It's been better for the NBA because you don't have these kids, these unknowns taking up roster spots who may never pan out. And I don't know. I'm a fan.
Yeah. We'll talk a little very quickly before we wrap up about the schools that had the worst sting from that high school exodus. Kentucky, we talked about a million times. Daryl Dawkins, Willoughby, Tracy McGrady. They also, we didn't mention him, but also Sean Kemp was a guy that could not go to Kentucky because there was a payout scandal involving Eddie Sutton. And so he was told to get off of campus before he could play for Kentucky. And he joined us JUCO school, but he didn't play at the JUCO school. He did wait a year after his high school to go to the NBA. So he's not a none and dunner per se.
But then why are we talking about him? He's not a none and dunner. He played. He enrolled. Doesn't matter. We could say Enos Kanter's a none and done then.
Because he enrolled. Yeah. Ricky Leto the
same
way.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, we're not talking about them. These are high school kids only. Campus kids.
But, man, McGrady, ooh, that would have been good. He would have played for the 98 team with Tubby Smith, and they won the national title anyway, but it would have been a lot different of a team had McGrady played, you know, because it would have been more centralized around him. DePaul, they lost out on Darrell Wright, Eddie Curry, Kevin Garnett thought about going there. North Carolina, Kobe, J.R. Smith, possibly Dwight Howard.
But, you know, the Dukes and the North Carolina and the Kansases, they just restocked with other kids who were just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville didn't suffer.
That's the thing I noticed too, Adam. It's not like the only one that really stood out as a not necessarily a go-to power school is Mississippi State, losing Monte Ellis, Travis Outlaw, and Jonathan Bender. And it was the timing of it. Jonathan Bender was in 99. Outlaw was in 03. Ellis was in 05. All those guys could have helped them, and they would have kept the lineage up of how good that school would have been. I mean, we would be talking about maybe Mississippi State as one of the power schools in the SEC, not Kentucky or Florida.
Yep, but
that was interesting.
Now we just have mediocre NBA players to talk about.
To finish off, last question I'll ask you. If there were any players since 06 that you would voluntarily exempt out of college after watching them now, what players would those be? Would it be like an Anthony Davis, a Kevin Durant?
Of course I knew you were going to say Davis before Durant. you know, there's no player that should get the exemption all because they're good now. Would they have been as good coming out of high school? We don't know. I don't know.
Like Blake Griffin. But Blake Griffin needed those couple years at Oklahoma.
Blake Griffin was also a sophomore when he came out.
That's true. His freshman year, he was good, but he wasn't
there
yet. He was
good, but he wasn't the number one pick yet. With these one-and-doners, which we'll get into soon, you just have a lot of kids who still think they're good, You have Durant, who just won every, the scoring title.
Durant, to me, is the guy. Well, it's Davis, too, because he was so dominant his 1 year in college that I had seen. I'm being honest with you. I'm not being a homer, because this was before he got drafted by the Hornets, so the Hornets even won the lottery. I watched Anthony Davis, and I said to myself, this isn't even fair. He's the best defensive player. He's the best center, and he's unstoppable. And he shouldn't even have to play against these people. He should just go to the NBA now. Durant, I felt the same way. He was averaging like 28 points and 11 rebounds at Texas. It was like, it wasn't even fucking fair. Like, I was like, look, just go to the NBA. You're good enough.
Yeah, but all their stories would be different, and we're not going to play the what-if game, because what if Greg Oden didn't go to that team would be different. He would have been different. Durant went to Texas. He's a Longhorn. Let's just leave it at that. And, your boy Davis, he's a Wildcat. Let's just have him be a Wildcat as opposed to you're from some obscure high school. No one ever knows.
How about DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie? You think he could have just gone to the NBA? And I mean, he's just as immature as he was then.
We will find out in a future episode.
Oh, good tease. All right, and that's going to be doing it for the None and Done era. I hope you all enjoyed that episode, a little retrospective, but gave you some new information, maybe some old information. But is that it? That's going to be it for us, huh, Adam?
I think we covered it fairly well.
Yeah, I think we're done. We're not none and done, but we're done here. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We're going to catch y'all again, guys. See you later.